All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Welcome in, HoopBallers, to another edition of your box score breakdown Thursday night with first-time host David Bracey and a stellar co-host here. How are you tonight, Chris?
I'm doing well, David. Thank you for asking.
Awesome.
Hope everyone's having a good Christmas, good holiday season.
Yeah. My holiday was pretty good. It was pretty short, but I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. I'm still off work, so I'm good.
Oh man, well, you're living a good life. I had to go back to work, unfortunately. So the grind continues. But one thing that definitely didn't stop over the holiday was NBA hoops. We had a couple games yesterday. As I'm sure most of us saw, since there probably wasn't a whole lot going on otherwise. So really quickly, Chris, what were some highlights that kind of stood out to you from yesterday's slate of holiday games?
That's good to have. Good to see Gordon Hayward back. For a moment there, I felt like this guy just couldn't catch a break. But good to see him back. He looked good. As usual, contribution right across the board. That's good to see. The games were pretty good. The Sixers were lights out from downtown yesterday. That was pretty crazy. And Milwaukee just had no answer there. Giannis had a bad shooting game. As far as fantasy goes, Golden State. I think Damian Lee could be a flyer if anyone want to take a shot at him. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Damian Lee. Very surprisingly, he is showing that he is more than just a relative of Steph Curry. He is a valuable fantasy contributor. So we'll see how long he can kind of hold on to that. I definitely think with the possibility of the Warriors kind of shutting down bodies later in the season, his value could really spike. So an interesting guy, I think definitely worth the flyer. And of course, we saw the Battle of LA yesterday, and I mean that was definitely the game to watch. LeBron really struggled during the game. I think had he maybe played a little bit better, the Lakers could have came out of there with a win. But the same thing could be said about if KCP would have made a couple shots down the stretch, maybe they wouldn't have so many costly turnovers. But really fun basketball to watch, and I got to say I'm really excited for the postseason this year.
Oh yeah, the Battle of LA. That's the show on the West Coast this year.
That's right. Well,
Yeah.
to get to tonight's game started off, we're going to start with a showdown on the East Coast between the Wizards and the Pistons. On the Washington side here, not a whole lot. We know that the Wizards are kind of just cobbling together whatever they can on a night-to-night basis, with Bertans out of the lineup, with Thomas Bryant out of the lineup, with IT facing that two-game suspension, and obviously with John Wall probably currently unsure, out for the season. The Wizards are really hurting for production, especially on the offensive end. So tonight, Bradley Beal did what he could in 23 minutes, 15 points on 5 of 14 from the field. Didn't make any three-pointers, so that's very surprising considering what you really got Beal for. And I mean, that's definitely his high-volume three-point production. So strange tonight. Did end up leaving the game a little bit early. They said it was just some leg soreness, so maybe a situation to monitor. But for right now, we're going to keep rolling with him. 5 of 7 from the free throw line, had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a turnover. excuse me. Ish Smith had 22 minutes, 9 points on 3 of 11 from the field, had a three-pointer, had 2 assists, a rebound, and 1 turnover. Jordan McRae, 15 minutes, 15 points on 5 of 10 from the field, 1 three-pointer, had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a turnover, a block. So as far as the Wizards go, there's not a whole lot to discuss. Troy Brown was a guy who was kind of coming on. Tonight he kind of came back to reality. 27 minutes, 13 points on 6 of 14 from the field, 6 rebounds you like to see, had an assist, chipped in a steal. So a guy who can contribute steals and defensive stats here and there, but definitely lately his offensive value is really spiking. So maybe that'll kind of normalize here. But as I said, the Wizards are really going to be hurting for production. Outside of that, not a whole lot to discuss since they're so banged up at this point. Are you really seeing anything else with the Wizards?
No, like, and the game was a blowout from the onset. So, like you said, like they basically had none of their starters outside of Beal. So it was no surprise the game was a blowout. So you have a lot of bench guys playing big minutes. Probably not a whole lot to see there. Yeah, like there's
Yeah.
Jonathan Williams playing his first game for the Wizards, 9 points, 8 rebounds, but I don't think he'll be playing 32 minutes a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right,
So,
what about on the Detroit side? What do you think?
yeah, so on the Detroit side, I mean, this game is a blowout, so the starters didn't get heavy minutes. Like Blake only played 26 minutes. Drummond only played 24 minutes, but both of them double-doubled. Blake with 14 points, 11 rebounds, with 4 assists and a block to go with all that. And Drummond have 14 and 10, plus a block and 3 turnovers. The rest of the team, it's pretty balanced attack all across the board, with like 7 players scoring in double digits. Christian Wood had a very efficient scoring night. 7 of 9 with 2 of 4 from downtown, scoring 22 points. But hold your horses on Christian Wood. This is, like I said, a blowout. So, he's likely not going to play this much this many minutes in a close game. So outside of that, Tim Frazier had 17 points on 5 of 8 shooting, and was 5 of 6 from downtown with 6 assists. He's been playing well the past few games. Like, I think he has three in the past 3 games. He was in the 20s and minutes and was shooting well, but he's shooting he just can't count on. So that regression is coming. Though if you want to use him as an assist streamer, you could, but just be ready to drop him when his shooting goes down. And yeah, I think that's about it. There's
Yeah.
yeah. On the point guard, on the point guard from for Detroit, there's also like Bruce Brown and Derrick Rose that are in play, and both play fairly well today. Bruce Brown was 5 of 6 from the field with 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So contributions all across the board. Derrick Rose had 15 points on 6 of 11 shooting, with 3 of 6 from downtown, and 6 assists. So yeah, that's I think that's all the notables from the on the Detroit side. Did you
Yeah,
see?
I agree with all your points, especially the point about kind of the point guard situation in Detroit. That situation, it's really kind of a Russian roulette. I don't really know how to determine who's going to be the most valuable guy on a night in, night out basis, not even to mention the fact that we still have the outlier of Reggie Jackson coming back in the fold. So, yeah, exactly. So, it's going to be really interesting to see how that kind of shapes up, especially depending on where the Pistons find themselves. In the East with playoff contention. So, definitely a situation to monitor, but a messy one at that.
Yeah, but at least we know at least we know Kennard's out for 2 weeks or so. So that's probably these guys, these three guards that's going to be splitting those minutes and doing most of the ball handling.
Yeah, that's a great point. I agree. All right, on to our second game here between the Knicks and the Nets. We'll start off with the New York Knicks over here. Marcus Morris continues his renaissance, 22 points on 8 of 16 from the field. Had a three-pointer, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. No defensive stats, only one turnover. So a very strong line tonight from Marcus Morris. Julius Randle, 35 minutes, 33 points on 14 of 26 from the field. Had 5 3-pointers tonight, so definitely unexpected, but you love to see that. Actually didn't take any free throws, so that's completely fine. 8 rebounds, 2 assists, only 2 turnovers, and no defensive stats. So a really strong line tonight from Julius. Taj Gibson, for some reason, got 11 minutes, didn't really do a whole lot with them. RJ Barrett, 24 minutes, only 5 points on 2 of 10 from the field. Chipped in 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, and a steal. Elfrid Payton, 31 minutes, 13 points on 6 of 12 from the field, had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and only 1 turnover. Payton, I think, is definitely going to be a guy who will be a very valuable source of assists going forward. It looks like he solidified himself in the starting point guard role for this new look Knicks lineup. So, however long this lineup lasts, then I definitely think that he's going to be the guy to go to if you're looking for an assist streamer or somebody to kind of dig out some value in a late end sense. So, definitely got to keep your eye on. Definitely worth an add. Mitchell Robinson, 28 minutes, 10 points on 4-6 from the field. 2 of 5 from the free throw line is rough. 10 rebounds is pretty good. Had an assist, chipped in 2 blocks and a steal. So brought the defensive stats tonight. That's what you got him for. So you love to see that. Outside of these guys, not a whole lot to talk about. Damian Dotson got 25 minutes and only scored 2 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Kevin Knox, 13 minutes, 4 points. Frank Ntilikina, 14 minutes, 3 points. And Bobby Portis, 18 minutes for only 2 points. So, not a whole lot to discuss outside of that core six there, being Morris, Randle, Barrett, Payton, Robinson. And then for that last person, it looks like it's going to kind of be on a wheel between Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, And if I had to guess another one, probably Kevin Knox for whoever's going to get the kind of most minutes between those guys. You seen anything else on the New York side?
No, I agree with you. And yeah, we'll see if Peyton solidifies himself as the point guard in New York. But yeah, that's just a wait and see situation. He's been heating up though. Yeah, so
Absolutely.
should we go over to Brooklyn side?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Brooklyn lost by 12 points, despite the New York Knicks shooting 40% from the field, because Brooklyn as a team only shot 26.9% from the field. So that tells you what this box score looks like. So with Spencer Dinwiddie leading the way with 25 points on 5 of 15 shooting, which is not that good. And but he made his money on the free throw line going. Well, actually, not that great, but he did shot 17 free throws, but only hitting 12 of them. The rest of the team, coming off the bench, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot was the only other player in double-digit scoring with 10 points. So you have Joe Harris shooting 3 of 12 with 8 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Torian Prince was a horrible 1 of 10 with just a single 3-pointer, five rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. Jared Allen played 26 minutes, was 0 for 2 from the field, 4 of 6 from the line, with 4 points and 6 rebounds, was stealing a block. Garrett Temple, 2 of 10 from the field. Man, this is just ugly to watch.
Rough. It was rough tonight.
Very. Yeah. So I don't know what else to say about this Brooklyn team for tonight's showing.
Yeah, there's really not a whole lot to say, honestly, as far as the battle in New York tonight. I mean, both teams shot it pretty horribly, and Brooklyn definitely won that battle. Unfortunately, they lost the game. We really know Brooklyn's hurting for production, especially on the offensive end with Kyrie out of the lineup. Obviously, with KD out for the season and with Caris LeVert kind of his return looming. Hopefully, Brooklyn can, kind of make it through this storm that they're going through right now and maintain some sense of relevance. And hopefully, Kyrie can come back with some sense of immediacy because otherwise, it's looking like this Brooklyn ship is going to be sinking quick, fast, and in a hurry. So we'll see. It's definitely a situation to watch over the next couple of weeks to kind of see how that all unfolds when guys are coming back. And if hopefully in the next couple of weeks, Kyrie Irving gets some kind of target date for a return. So just kind of wait and see there.
Yeah, still hovering just over 500 at the moment, but without Kyrie and LeVert, they're just really lacking the offensive punch. So hopefully those guys will come back soon for the sake of Brooklyn.
Absolutely. And for the sake of our fantasy teams, because I know that we're hurting without them. I know I am. So fingers crossed.
Carry on a couple teams. That's
Yeah.
rough.
Is rough. All right. Heading into the third game here between the Grizzlies and the Thunder on the Memphis side tonight. Might as well start with Triple J. 34 minutes, 20 points on 9 of 19 from the field. Had 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. 3 blocks, only 1 turnover. So JJJ has really come on as of late, looking really, really strong. I'm a big fan. Love what he's doing. Not much else to say there. Valanciunas, man in the middle, 27 minutes tonight, 21 points on 9 of 11 from the field, 3-4 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, had an assist, no defensive stats. So JV, we know he's capable of big offensive numbers when he gets the minutes. Tonight he got the minutes and he was getting the ball. Scored it at a very, very high clip, 81% from the field. Excellent. So strong from Valanciunas tonight. Jay Crowder got 25 minutes, only scored 5 points on 2 of 8 from the field. Had a 3-pointer, had 10 rebounds, 1 assist, no defensive stats, only 1 turnover. More of a fringy 12 team kind of guy, I would say. I personally don't trust him, but I mean, if you're really, really desperate, I definitely think, a flyer's not going to hurt you. If he does, you can just drop him, send him right back to where you found him. Dylan Brooks, 25 minutes, only 8 points on 2 of 8 from the field, had a three-pointer, 2 rebounds, a steal, and 2 turnovers. Ja Morant, 26 minutes, 10 points on 5 of 9 from the field, had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and only 1 turnover. And then Tyus Jones, 15 minutes, or I'm sorry, 21 minutes and 15 points on 6 of 7 from the field, had 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 turnovers. So outside of those guys, not a whole lot to talk about. Brandon Clark, 19 minutes tonight, I will say, 13 points on 5 of 6 from the field, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, a steal, and a block. So again, outside of those guys, we kind of know who everybody is on the Memphis Grizzlies team. We know who they're going to lean on, and we know who is going to be a more dependable fantasy option. So take these lines for what you will. Kind of determine value at your own risk when working with the Memphis Grizzlies. Do you have any thoughts, really? I think we lost Chris.
Sorry, I was muted. Yes,
Oh, no problem.
so not much else. How do you see kind of I think the one thing interesting would be how to see how this backup point guard situation comes out. Looks like it's just going to be a hot hand thing. Tyus Jones definitely had the hot hand tonight, so the Anthony Melton took the back seat there, but still had. Was contributing, had 9 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. But yeah, we'll see how that works out. So on the OKC front, I think overall the core guys did their job, but it was just the supporting cast was just not there. So SGA had 21 points on 8 of 19 shooting, although just 1 of 6 from downtown. Had 3 rebounds and 1 assist and 3 steals to go with that. Chris Paul had a very efficient night, scoring 23 points on 9 of 15 shooting, 2 of 4 from downtown, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, and 3 steals. The man in the middle, Steven Adams, has 16 points on 7 of 10 shooting, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, which is on par with his bad free throw shooting, and 6 rebounds and 4 assists. And coming off the bench, Dennis Schroeder had 32 minutes and was scoring 20 points on 8 of 21 shooting and 2 of 7 from downtown. He had more minutes, he's playing more minutes tonight because Gallo's out. So they're also lacking a big scoring punch there. That's probably why they lost the game. And basically, I think, yeah, there's nothing else really. Nerlens Noel, he just doesn't get much touches, but he did make up his line with 2 steals and 3 blocks. So yeah, that's about it for OKC.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Not a whole lot to not a whole lot to really talk about in this game. In a couple of the games tonight, there was a couple rock fights tonight, so not a whole lot of fantasy value to really deep dive into here.
Yeah, and quite a few blowouts tonight.
Absolutely. Well, before we head into our last three games here, with a looking like the double overtime thriller in Sacramento just coming to an end here. Before we head into our last three, I would be amiss if I didn't talk about my bookie. My bookie is an amazing online service that, bar none, I mean, best of the best. Are you a bet man, Chris?
Occasionally, but yeah, like I do plan on getting in on the action because I've been if those of you listen to the Fantasy NBA Today show, you've probably heard Dan mention that we have a betting podcast coming up. So I think I might jumping on the action with the help of those guys.
Absolutely, and it's a perfect time to do so. Now's the perfect time. Tomorrow, anytime is the perfect time. And if you're not a basketball person, don't worry. Football's not, or basketball's not your thing. Don't even worry about it. We got you covered. My bookie's got it all. Everything from the NBA to the NFL to the Premier League. They've got the fastest payouts, the best promotion, and a very helpful 24/7 customer service team. Because if there's one thing that I know, it's that if I'm playing around with my money, I want to know that the people who are helping me play around with my money are going to be there when I have questions. Because I'm going to have some questions undoubtedly. So I definitely love the 24/7 customer service. That's huge. You can even pool your bets
Absolutely.
together for a bigger payout. I mean, who doesn't want more money? Let's say you got a couple of big favorites this week. Parlay wagers let you bet multiple games together. And if they all come through, you win big. Boom, can't beat that. My bookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around, and you can bet on it. If you join right now, my bookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000, a grand, up to a grand. That means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. I like free money. I think everybody likes free money. All you have to do is enter our promo code BOXSCORE to activate the offer. Again, that promo code is BOXSCORE, 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 to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid. All right, heading into the battle in Texas tonight, we had the Spurs taking on the Luka Doncic-led Mavericks in his return tonight, but we're going to start on the San Antonio side of things here, and we'll start with an oldie but a goodie, LaMarcus Aldridge. 30 minutes tonight, 17 points on 7-13 from the field, 7 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, had 2 blocks, and only one turnover. LA has been really strong this season. Remains to be seen what's going to happen with the Spurs, especially since we are now past that December 15th period and everybody's kind of able to be traded. So we'll see what happens between now and the trade deadline. I think that there's definitely going to be some moves and some shakeups here. LA may be on the move, maybe DeMar may be, but if not, I think LaMarcus is definitely going to be a very valuable guy going forward, regardless of circumstance and situation. So liking his production this season. DeMar DeRozan, 34 minutes, 21 points on 8 of 15 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers. Trey Lyles got the start at center tonight, 21 minutes, only 5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, no defensive stats. Keyontae Murray got the minutes share tonight, 26 for him, but only 4 points on 2 of 7 from the field, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists. 3 steals, but 3 turnovers. So not a whole lot from Jonte tonight, minus the defensive stats. Bryn Forbes, 24 minutes, 7 points on 3 of 7 from the field. No 3-pointers from Forbes tonight, so that's unfortunate. 4 rebounds and a turnover. And then Derek White got the 24 minutes between the split with Murray, 10 points on 4 of 10 from the field, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, a turnover, and a block. Really, the strong lineup tonight was from Rudy Gay. As we all know, Rudy Gay isn't necessarily somebody who you can consistently count on, but he will have these nights where he returns to form. 26 minutes, 18 points on 7 of 10 from the field, had 4 3-pointers, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and only 1 turnover. So, as I said, really strong line tonight from Rudy Gay, but not something that I think that you can consistently count to depend on. So take that for what you will. Anything else you're really seeing on this side of the ball, Chris?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. Murray cooled off after 5 straight games in double digits. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, I think you got it. So let's jump over to the Dallas from where we celebrate the comeback of Luka Doncic. He came back and almost triple doubled with 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists on 9 of 23 shooting, 1 of 6 from downtown. Some rust to be expected there, but he got the run. There's no minutes restriction, so those Luka owners out there, feel free to roll him out. He's right back at it. And that's take a look at the rest of Dallas. Porzingis didn't have a good shooting night. Only 13 points on 4-15 shooting, but he did shoot 3 of 8 from downtown and had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. Dorian Finney-Smith started at the other forward spot, had 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting with 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, and a block. Watching the game, Dwight Powell got a few easy ones with lobs from Doncic, so had 11 points on 4 of 9 shooting with 7 rebounds, a steal, and a block to go with that. THJ, Tim Hardaway Jr., scored 17 points on 7 of 14 shooting. His hot streak continues with 3 of 6 from downtown, 3 rebounds, and no defensive stats as usual. Coming off the bench, we have Maxi Kleber, who played 31 minutes, only scoring 6 points on 2 of 7 shooting, but did have 12 rebounds and a steal to go with the 6 points. DeLon Wright had a pretty good efficient shooting night, 5 of 11 for 12 points there with 5 rebounds and 4 assists. Steph Curry just couldn't get anything going at 0 points, 0 rebounds, was just 1 assist. And yeah, you can those people that were riding on Jalen Brunson, you can say goodbye. He is done, playing only 30 and a half minutes with 6 points. So I think with Doncic back, Dallas is back to basically how they've been playing all season, with Doncic probably taking most of the shots, and Porzingis would get his numbers. And I think the wing situation with Hardaway, Wright, and Curry would just be like a hot hand thing with you just won't be able to count on any of them. Any takes from you, David?
No, I think you made a great point about Brunson. I mean, anybody who was kind of hoping that there would be value there with Luka coming back, I think that it's safe to say that that's not going to be the case. Wright has definitely been kind of a fringy guy all year. He's been dropped, he's been added, he's been held. So I think after that game, if you were holding on to him still, I mean, there's definitely no reason to drop him. But I'm definitely not convinced. I don't think he's somebody who I'd be running to go at, because I just think anytime that Luka's good and ready to go, that he's going to be the guy, and there's not going to be a whole lot of there's not going to be a whole lot of opportunity for the rest of the guards there. So I guess we'll just kind of wait and see. All right, going into the next game, Portland and Utah had a high scoring game tonight. The Trailblazers ended up losing to the Jazz, 115 to 121. On the Portland side of the ball, we had some big minutes tonight from Damian Lillard. 37 minutes, 34 points on 10 of 21 from the field. Had 7 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and only 1 turnover. I mean, this guy's, I mean, he's incredible. We know who Damian Lillard is. I don't have to explain. CJ McCollum, 38 minutes, 25 points on 10 of 23 from the field, 3 three-pointers, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Hassan Whiteside, 21 minutes, only 8 points tonight on 3 of 5 from the field, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and only 1 block. Carmelo Anthony, 37 minutes tonight. Whoa, 12 points on 5 of 13 from the field, had 1 three-pointer, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, and 3 turnovers. Kent Bazemore, 23 minutes, 6 points on 2 of 7 from the field, had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, a steal, and 3 turnovers. And then Anthony Simons, 28 minutes, 15 points on 7 of 9 from the field, had a three-pointer, had 10 rebounds, no defensive stats. and a turnover. So those are really going to be the guys worth discussing, the guys worth monitoring. LaBCA did have 26 minutes, 10 points tonight, 7 rebounds, 3 assists and no defensive stats. But again, I think those are going to be the main guys you want to keep an eye on. Hassan Whiteside, as we know, has been a huge value where he was drafted. And I think right now the guy's sitting somewhere inside of the top 20. Maybe even the top 15. So really, really strong this season. Quiet tonight, but again, I think that that's probably going to be more matchup based. Rudy Gobert is a monster down low, and that's no joke. We all know that. So I'm sure that that affected production. Big minute totals, as I said tonight, from Melo, from CJ, from Dame. We know that they're going to be leaning on those guys hard. They're going to be leaning on Bazemore hard, especially since Rodney Hood went down. So the Portland Trailblazers, kind of a whole lot there, but not a whole lot of value. So, as I said, we know the guys that we want to have. So, any other thoughts really about the Trailblazers?
Actually, this game, like looking at the final score, it might not does not tell the how the game actually went. Portland attempted a comeback but couldn't pull it off, scoring. Outscoring Utah 39-25 in the fourth quarter, and McCollum ended up with 25 points, but I believe he went into the fourth quarter in the low double digits, so he did most of that damage in the fourth quarter. Same with Anthony Simons; those two were leading this comeback for Portland. Yeah, so yeah, those, like you said, those are the main guys, and this was pretty exciting to watch that kind of come back in the fourth quarter in this game. Now let's get to the Utah side. This is a great game by Utah, except in the fourth quarter where things kind of cool down a bit, but they did hold on to the lead and pull out the win. Joe Ingles started red hot, like scoring. I think he was 4 for 4 from downtown in the first 7 minutes of the game, and ended up with 26 points on 10 of 15 shooting, 6 of 10 from downtown, with 5 rebounds and 4 assists. He continues to stay hot and is a must start while Mike Conley is out. And the other guy taking care of the scoring load is Donovan Mitchell with 35 points on 12 of 19, very efficient shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown, 8 of 11 from three throw line, with 3 rebounds, 7 assists, no defensive stats. Rudy Gobert in the middle was 7 of 7, didn't miss a shot, but only 2 of 6 from the free throw line. But he did have 16 points and 15 rebounds, plus a block. Bojan Bogdanovic did his damage on the scoring front, although the shooting isn't really there tonight, but he was aggressive throughout the game. Only 5 of 15 and 1 of 7 from threes, and have 4 rebounds, assist, and a steal. Royce O'Neal was had 8 points on 3 of 4 shooting, 2 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Kind of the glue guy in this for this crew. The new addition, Jordan Clarkson, was out there chucking, had 9 points on 4 of 12 shooting. And outside of those guys, not much more there. Emmanuel Mudiay got some run at backup point guard, but Ingles and Mitchell basically took up all the minutes there, so he only got 15 minutes of run. So, yeah, that's it. Did you have anything else to add on the Utah side?
The only other thing I would say is that it definitely looks like, to your point, Joe Ingles is going to be really, really strong. I think possibly even to finish out the season, because with some of the most recent roster additions made by Utah, I'm really wondering what the whole situation is with Mike Conley. And unfortunately for owners of Mike Conley, it might be a situation where you end up just having to cut bait entirely, which is going to be truthfully unfortunate. But at this point, I really don't see how he can have any real semblance of trade value. So that's a rough situation. It's really, really unfortunate. We know the guy Mike Conley can be when he's healthy and in the lineup. So this is just definitely a devastating situation, and a really, really unfortunate return on investment, both for the Utah Jazz and for any fantasy owners who drafted him. So.
Yeah, I'm feeling the pain there. I have Conley on two of my teams, and I believe on one of them, I actually went out and acquired him, thinking that he will figure it out. But at this point in the season, it's looking like it just might not work out. And Ingles and Gobert definitely is showing that chemistry there, which Conley has yet to develop with the big man. So yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to cut bait just yet, given how much I've put into it, but it's definitely rough.
No, I completely understand. And I definitely wouldn't be eager to cut bait if I was a Mike Conley owner. I just think that, unfortunately, if you're not able to kind of finagle some kind of trade at this point, it really might end up just kind of being an abandoned ship type situation. But the season still has some time to go, and we still have many weeks left in most of our fantasy season. So hopefully he can return and at least provide us some value for some portion of the remainder of the season, but we'll see. All right,
Yeah, I
heading into
think
the last game tonight. Oh yeah, go ahead, Chris.
if you're staying afloat without contribution from Conley, then just sit tight like I am, just hoping for one last bit of hope. But like my teams are staying afloat without his contribution, so I can afford to do that. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's it.
absolutely. Absolutely. And I definitely agree with that. I mean, I'm a big fan of the wait and see. And I'm a big fan of the buy low. So I definitely don't blame you for trying to take advantage of what seemed like an opportune buy low situation. Because that's just a risk we want re that we run with buy lows and sell highs. You know, it's a gamble. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No pain, no gain.
That's right. You got to risk it for the biscuit. That's what they say. All right, heading into the last game tonight between the Timberwolves and the Kings, a double overtime victory by the T-Wolves without Karl-Anthony Towns. So let's start in Minnesota. Robert Covington got 39 minutes tonight, 19 points on 8 of 19 from the field, had 2 3-pointers, 8 rebounds and assists and 2 blocks. So no steals tonight from Roko, but love to see the blocks. Gorgui Dieng been really, really strong in the fill-in starter. 40 minutes tonight, 21 points on 7 of 13 from the field. Had 3 3-pointers, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. I mean, excellent. The guy's been crushing it. Like I said, filling in for Towns. And I mean, as much as we love to see Towns come back, you really hate to see Gorgui go because you know how productive that he can be when given the opportunity. But all that will disappear, as I said, when Towns returns. Wiggins, 43 minutes tonight, 18 points on 4 of 19 from the field, had 2 3-pointers, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 turnovers. So Wiggins continues his strong play. Napier started at point guard tonight, 21 minutes, 2 points on only 1 of 7 from the field, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and 2 turnovers. Even though Napier got the start, T got the minutes, 36 minutes off the bench, 15 points of 5 of 17 from the field. 4-4 from the 3-point from the free throw line, had 1 3-pointer, had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block, no steals, and 4 turnovers. So high turnovers tonight from Teague, but contributed kind of across the board there. And then the other starter, Trevion Graham at small forward, got 39 minutes, 9 points on 3 of 6 from the field, had a 3-pointer, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, no defensive stats. And no turnovers. So, really, the guys, as I said, worth mentioning: Wiggins, Dieng, Covington. And then right now, it's kind of an interesting situation between Napier and Jeff Teague. At one point in time, it looked like Culver was trying to fight his way into a minute share in that point guard situation, but it looks like he's really fallen back to the back of the line there. Only 14 minutes tonight with 5 points on 2 of 7 from the field, 2 rebounds. two steals, no turnovers, but really been struggling from the free throw line, been struggling heavy from the field. I mean, just been struggling all over the place from a percentage basis, and it's not looking like he's going to be the guy they're rolling with. So we will see what the situation kind of materializes as between Teague and Napier. I personally think that I'd rather have Teague just because I feel like I kind of know what I'm going to get more. But given the injury concern and the history of him kind of being in and out of the lineup, depending on where the T-Wolves head in the playoff race, Napier could be very, very valuable in the season. So, as I said, situation to monitor. Any thoughts from you, Chris, about the T-Wolves?
No, I think you pretty much covered it, and I totally agree with you on the point guard situation. Yeah, Culver just couldn't quite get his footing in there. They did try him for a bit, but definitely looking like Minnesota is going to go with this playing Teague off the bench, but I think he will still get more minutes than Napier, so I agree with you. He would be the guy to own if you were to own a point guard from Minnesota. Now, on to the Sacramento side, who coughed up the game in the fourth quarter and the two overtime. Rashawn Holmes, 20 points on 9 of 15 shooting with a career-high 18 rebounds. With 8 offensive rebounds. He was really active on the glass. Lots of putback. And he also chipped in with 3 assists, had 2 steals and 2 blocks. Just contribution right across the board. This guy has been the pickup of the year, I think. Yeah, whoever picked him up must be smiling from year to year. And unfortunately for De'Aaron Fox, he only had 2 points because he had back spasm 2 minutes into the game. So for the rest of the Sacramento crew, Marvin Bagley also got hurt in the third quarter. So he only had 19 minutes, but it was a very effective 19 minutes, scoring 18 points on 6 of 10 shooting. Nothing from downtown, but 6 of 7 from the line with 4 rebounds and a steal. I believe he tweaked his left foot in the third quarter, and I think we should get a diagnosis probably tomorrow, and then we'll see how much time he missed there. Or if he has to miss any, and same with Fox, and Buddy Hield, the other backcourt there, has 17 points, but also only on 6 of 20 shooting. He was 3 of 11 from downtown, was really struggling, but he did hit a 3 to tie the game and send the game into double overtime. And Harrison Barnes was just horrible from the field, 2 of 12. 2 of 4 from 3-point range and 5 of 6 from the line, had 11 points and 10 rebounds plus 1 assist. And we welcome back Bogdan Bogdanovic with 19 points, but his shooting was also very much off. 8 of 28 from the field, 3 of 16 from 3-point line. And chipped in with 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 block. And maybe 2 other players of note here is Corey Joseph, who played almost 40 minutes, had 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. I think he will get some run if Fox has to sit out. And Trevor Ariza also played 33 minutes, but nothing to show for it on the scoring front. 0 points, but he did grab 11 rebounds and had 3 assists and 1 steal. Bielitsa only had 16 minutes, despite the fact that Bagley had to miss the fourth quarter, portions of the third quarter, and basically the rest of the game. He only played 16 minutes, so I think we have some kind of a resolution on that Sacramento front court, and Bielitsa would be the guy to cut, provided that Bagley's injury is minor. So we don't have any resolution on that front yet. So we'll have to wait for more news to render a cut on Bielitsa. If Bagley is forced to miss time, Bielitsa will get quite a bit of run, and he will provide fantasy stats. Yeah, that's it. Any takes you on the Sacramento side from you, David?
Yeah, to your point, you definitely hate to see all the injuries kind of piling back up for the Kings again. But on the bright side, like you said, I mean, Rashawn Holmes definitely looking like, if not the pickup of the year, definitely one of the pickups of the year. I mean, the guy's been incredible. He's been absolutely crushing it. And I definitely think with De'Aaron Fox possibly falling out of the lineup for an extended period of time, or possibly the same with Bagley, that we can definitely expect to see Buddy Hield continue to chuck and probably chuck even a little bit more. I mean, 20 attempts tonight is absolutely, I mean, right in line with where he's at, and 11 three-pointers being, I mean, 11 three-point attempts of the 20. I mean, that definitely falls in line too. So I think that volume's going to increase. I think Bogdanovich is definitely going to be seeing a lot more minutes, a lot more opportunity, especially if De'Aaron's out of the lineup, because while Corey Fox would, or I'm sorry, while Corey Joseph will definitely get the burn at point guard, we know that he's just not really, not really a scorer. He's definitely more of a pass-first point guard. So I think that they're going to rely heavily on Bogdanovich and Hield as primary playmakers should Fox fall out of the lineup for an extended period of time. But that remains to be seen, and let's just hope that for once, the Kings can cobble it all together for an extended period of time, because when they have all their guys on the floor, they have a lot of potential, and they're a very, very talented team. So I'm curious to see kind of where they head over the next couple of years, and I'm sure many of us are.
Oh, yeah,
So,
absolutely.
yeah, well, that was our last game for the night. So that'll kind of close it out. Before we get out of here tonight, just want to thank all the listeners for tuning in for another edition of Box Score Breakdown on Thursdays. I'm David. This has been Chris. Chris, where can the people get a hold of you with all their fantasy questions?
They can hit me up with their questions on Twitter at CmanUBC. That's my Twitter handle, so feel free to drop me any questions and I'll be happy to answer them. How about you, David?
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, hey, there's no place like Twitter. That's what they say, right? So hit me up on Twitter at DFB underscore three with all your fantasy gems, questions, trades, whatever you got. Hit me up. I will be up and ready to answer. Chris, where can the people tune in and hear you next on HoopBall? Are you working on anything? Got any projects, articles coming out?
No articles for me. I'm mostly on the premium show. So if you're one of our premium subscribers, you'll find me on the Wednesday show mostly. And if you're not a premium subscriber, don't miss out. Come join us.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, catch me next Tuesday when me and Hank team up to tackle another box score. And then catch me again on Thursday, possibly with Chris again, bringing you that Thursday box score breakdown. From everybody here at HoopBall, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
See ya.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.